Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Mark Haynes.
And I'm Julia Rayside.
And over the next 4 months, we'll be taking you through the highs and lows of Strictly Come Dancing. All the winners.
The losers.
The huge name stars and the other ones.
The inevitable relationship traumas.
The gags.
The pitiful gags.
The awful, awful gags. The wonderful outfits.
The complex structure of bets that could leave you better off by £1 million.
And everything that happens both on and off the dance floor.
It's the curse of Strictly.
Keep listening, subscribing, telling your friends, and dancing!
Appalling.
It's absolutely awful.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show. Hello and welcome to the One Show, and we are back. We took a break. I mean, to be fair, we had to. Have you ever tried watching the One Show every day, week in, week out? No, you haven't. So we had to take a break for our own sanity. Although the real reason we took a break over the last couple of months is that we simply couldn't stomach the fucking rickshaw challenge. That's done. It's over. Matt Baker single-handedly saved up to a dozen children who were so in need that he made them pedal a homemade tricycle all around the country in the rain. Well done, Matt. We all salute you. So welcome back. We may have had a break, but the One Show certainly hasn't. It never goes away. It's always there in the background, waiting, watching. It's like the television equivalent of the herpes virus. I am John Holmes, and this week on the green sofas, a swear word on his live television show doesn't seem to faze Matt Baker at all. He's changed. Rod Stewart's shoe confounds a cameraman, and Matt Allwright isn't available to the public. Joining me to live the dream this week, our regular, he's back as well, for the One Show Showa, Mark Haynes, an actor, improviser, writer, man, fawn. It's Alex Sivright.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Here
we are. I'll be back. Look with this. We're back.
Do you know what's funny about that rickshaw challenge is now it's over, I realise I haven't seen it mentioned in any print medium or other television medium. If you don't watch The One Show, it does not exist.
That's exactly right.
I'd forgotten all about it until you mentioned it.
There you see, this is you're absolutely right. I even accidentally watched a bit of Children in Need when that was on, and it wasn't on there either.
Maybe someone had paid enough money that they just threw that film in the bin.
Right, as we've been off, what was interesting to me, just plunging straight back in, and I started with Monday, I think you did, Alex,
I did as well, yes.
Was it was just like we hadn't been away, because it started with Matt getting, got very excited, first of all, that there were going to be something to do with Sports Personality of the Year.
Now we are live, and a little bit later on, we're going to be revealing the sixth and the final contender in the running to be crowned Sports Personality of the Year 2019, everybody.
Hands at that time of the year already.
It's going to be happening all across the BBC today, so we're part of it.
Very, very excited. First up, he was like, the rest of the BBC are doing Sports Personality of the Year. Tonight, we get a turn.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was worth it, wasn't it?
Look, I know it's a really hackneyed gag as well to go, isn't that a contradiction in terms, Sports Personality of the Year?
Yeah.
That joke has got more than a fucking scintilla of accuracy hidden within it. But getting excited about Sports Personality of the Year takes it to a new level.
I mean, to be honest with him, though, I would be excited as well if I got to introduce Katrina Johnson-Thompson, because that's just a great name to say.
Yeah, no one struggled with it either, as you just did.
Katrina Johnson-Thompson.
it's nearly impossible.
I mean,
impossible.
That's why I'm not a presenter on The One Show.
No, there are many reasons for that.
Yeah, there are, yes.
I don't know why they haven't asked me. I can't understand it. Oh, by the way, we should also point out that though we are back, Alex Jones still is not back.
No!
She's still off on maternity leave.
Yeah, motherhood changes a person. Doesn't it? Sometimes they look back and they go, I used to live a life that was full of just self-satisfaction or just bringing misery. I mean, maybe now she's sort of begun looking at her previous work and thinking, you know what? I led a very dissolute again. I'm writing through a dissolute today. I'm going to use it. It ruined the joke, but I'm happy to keep saying it. Dissolute.
See, I just think that Alex Jones is milking it, both literally and metaphorically. That's what I think.
But the bit when I just thought it was like sinking into a nice warm bath of shit. When on Monday Rod Stewart was on.
Yes.
So they made a big issue of decorating the couch with tartan and leopard skin cushions.
Shall we get the couch ready, get the cushions? I've got the leopard skin
proper
one.
I always love a bit of leopard.
We are giving him the full rock star treatment.
I wrote here that a couple of cushions is not, quote, the rock and roll treatment that he should have had. No.
But there was rock and roll treatment for him, because then outside on the forecourt piazza, that's where Rod Stewart made his entrance, and he came in miming to them playing a backing track of Maggie May, but then the studio audience all joined in with it. So you've got this weird thing of a load of middle-aged, I'm going to say fat ladies, right, all singing Wake Up Maggie, while Rod Stewart mimed along, walking on a red carpet they'd laid down, this is brilliant. I mean, this is the same as it was when we left.
It's the Rod Stewart, everybody!
Yeah. And then it turned out they were from a choir.
I know, was it the Rod Stewart Choir?
But then there was a sort of tribute to Rod Stewart, where they played, the first film we got on Monday was all about the history of Rod Stewart. And this was after he had to negotiate what they called a cobbled street of album covers. Laid out on the floor.
That he had to walk on.
He basically had to negotiate.
You could only see the top layer as well, the top ones. And I just wish that the choir was singing Hot Legs instead, when he stumbled over them. That'd have been amazing.
And we've made a little cobbled street just 31 of your album.
That is a lot of work down there, mate.
It is.
A lot
of
work, and every moment was enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Apart from that album.
Absolute. Which one was that?
No, I'm kidding. It's a joy to make music.
Yeah.
Period. You know?
Yeah.
Also, I wish that Matt Baker was just honest and just gone, you know, all of our guests today on the sofa are old men. Yeah. That'd be fantastic. That's all we got.
It's all you got.
All we got.
I like the fact that two tartan cushions on a sofa makes that sofa as legitimately Scottish as Rod fucking Stewart.
That's true.
The choir thing was odd. The film was weird. There was a bit. So it was like this tribute to him. So they wheeled out loads of people that have worked with him from behind the scenes, just saying how lovely he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife, because he's married to Penny Lancaster, isn't he? The model, former model.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's, and I say this as a short man, but three times his height. It should be five times my height, that's fair.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was in the film saying how, you know, how wonderful husband, the millionaire.
What did they think she was going to say? Her in there and go, I hope she doesn't really sort of, you know, slag him off. It'd be nice if she said something good about him. Considering her job title is Rod Stewart's wife, she's probably going to just say something about it. They've done this as well. This is a new thing they do with the guests where they go, how can we introduce them by having a thoroughly positive piece about them that is not just people going, oh, they're great. What's the reason behind it? What's the clever twist you put on it? Because they did the same with Andy Murray, where he came on and they got a load of kids from Dunblane Primary School on Wednesday.
Yeah.
They got a load of kids to just say how inspirational he was to them.
So we paid a visit to his old school to hear why Andy makes them all so proud.
Twenty-seven years ago, Sir Andy started his education here. Today, Dunblane Primary School is celebrating its Great Scott.
Hi, Andy. Andy Murray went to my school.
Quite amazing, just knowing like a professional tennis player's been to your school.
Him, like his mum and Jamie, often like come and visit us in the school. And they do quite a lot for the school.
And the one thing they didn't do with that is they went back to Dunblane Primary School, which is probably the most famous primary school in Britain because of its association with the Dunblane air disaster. And they didn't mention that
at all. Well, no, it was an attack. Wasn't it Dunblane the...
of course, yes.
It was the madman.
Was it Michael Hamilton?
With the airplane.
From the musical Hamilton, that's right.
The guy from the musical Hamilton, who was also in Airplane 2.
He crashed the airplane into the school, I remember. Right.
I am not firing on all cylinders today. To say that school is best known for something it is then not related to. But my point still stands.
Hang on, are you thinking of Lockerbie?
Yes.
Go on.
It was just the equivalent of Lockerbie. That's my point.
If you do want to pick that up again, we can do that. That's fine.
I'm quite happy for that to stand as his job.
As long as you don't mind looking like a dick.
Look, I genuinely had to say was probably not as entertaining as that, but so let's leave it in.
There was one moment during the VT right at the beginning, they had the talk and everything, and then the voiceover went, so what's Rod's secret?
Over the past 50 years, Rod Stewart has sold more than 250 million records worldwide as a solo artist, making him one of the most successful singers of all time. So, what's his secret?
And I was thinking, I don't know, I guess we'll find out when he dies. Yeah. So I was thinking...
Well, Penny Lancaster, though, I think I know Rod's secret, right? Because Penny Lancaster was then filmed in, presumably, their house, saying, the thing about Rod is that he's always been so respectful of women.
Yes. Mm.
That was her key line. Very keen to say that, she
telling,
was.
Telling, wasn't it?
And then they immediately cut to video footage of Rod Stewart on stage with a string section of ladies playing strings, all dressed as schoolgirls.
What I've always loved about him is his traditional manners and being such a gentleman and respectful of women.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, that's an editor's juxtaposition joke right there. He's very respectful of women. Look at this footage of him with women dressed as schoolgirls he probably insisted on.
I love the music. It sounds great. But is there anything we can do about the costumes the ladies are wearing? I'm thinking schoolgirls.
It's a picture of him and Ronnie Wood as well, which I would like to address. When the guy said, him and Ronnie are just like two schoolboys. Wearing fucking hideous latex masks.
Well, I suppose that legitimises the schoolgirls.
Why are they doing a film that continually references schoolgirls and schoolboys and schools with two ageing rockers? What is this hidden dog whistle that's going on?
But then Penny Lancaster also said, and the thing is, you know, I look at Rod and I think, oh, you know, Maggie May came out the year I was born.
I know.
Maggie May came out the very month and year I was born. And I often sit back in awe of and admiration of what he's been able to produce and sustain for so long. As years have gone by, I mean, he's turning 75 soon.
Oh.
I know. The Rod Stewart then said a swear.
He did on
the sofa. But ordinarily, as we know from watching The One Show a lot, Matt Baker will shut anything down.
Absolutely.
Remotely
furious.
Not tea time friendly.
Mm.
But Rod Stewart was talking about getting laryngitis, and he said, if you're a singer like me, if you get laryngitis, you're buggered. And I perked up and thought, hello, Matt's going to make a face. Didn't. He carried on.
You had a bit of a tough week last week. Had to pull out of Royal Variety.
Yeah, disappointing because I wanted to sing with Robbie. But, you know, my job, if you get laryngitis, you're buggered.
Yeah,
you can't do it. Anybody else can go to work, but I can't.
Yeah, for sure.
And nobody said a word. And you sort of go, this isn't the Matt we've grown to love, is it? This isn't Matt. Well, you know, you should have gone, no. Shut your fucking potty mouth. You septuagenarian leopard-skinned cunt. Is what he should have said.
You see, farmers, buggered is not a swear word, is it? They're all like, oh, God, bugger up there, and so Matt, again, just a sort of like a totally tone deaf to what a swear word is, because that's the most rural of the swear words, isn't it?
It is.
Buggered.
I think last time we talked about Rod Stewart on the Modern Show.
Mm.
I was here.
We get you in whenever it's Rod Stewart week, Alex. Yeah. We know.
Didn't he sue you after that show?
it's ongoing. I haven't helped myself. I have not helped myself.
But I told you the story about him in the wardrobe, didn't I?
Yes.
Did I tell that on here?
Yes, you did.
I don't need to go there again.
No.
But suffice to say.
Go back through the last the last year of episodes. Listen to them consecutively. I mean, you know, that could bring us upwards of £1.30 if everyone did. It. So, yeah, we won't tell you what episode it is.
But he did say on this episode...
He loves sugar puffs.
Yeah, that was that stuff. Yeah, exactly right. I remember now. He was talking about his dad, and Matt asked him a question about the album, about his dad or something. And Rod Stewart said, oh, I haven't seen my dad for a while because he's dead.
I feel a bit emotional.
It was incredibly emotional actually watching that with you, but certainly when you saw your dad there as well.
Got and
you
me, said, yeah. I haven't seen him for a while because he's been dead.
No.
I genuinely laughed at that.
I did as well. But that's great. That was really good. And he said, but my dad used to talk to me about being a musician and, you know, and what I was doing. And he didn't mention drugs.
Because he was always there. You know, pushing me, also warning me about the downfalls in the music business. Mm-hmm. It may not last forever. There's drink. He didn't mention drugs, but
my dad and I was like, well, you should listen to my wardrobe story when you did all those sugar puffs in a wardrobe.
Did Matt ask him about his dad? Rod Stewart is about 80. The chances his dad is... Do you think his dad's like 165? We've just not heard. No one's gone on about that.
He's still dancing and singing in his retirement home.
Yeah, and Penny Lancaster wants to do him.
Can I have a shout-out for Donnie Lonergan?
Yes. Please have a shout-out for Donnie Lonergan.
There was a track that you heard at home that kind of started it all for you. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a man
you can roll. There it is. The Rock Island Line.
Donnie Lonergan. Lonnie Donegan.
Donnie Lonergan.
Donnie Lonergan. Bless him.
You know the skiffle player, Donnie Lonergan?
Aren't you thinking about the piffle slayer?
this was a Scanlan moment. Scanlan had a few moments this week.
Oh, she had another one on Thursday, though, where she said Naomi's good friend, Mandel.
But for you, that humanitarian side came from your good friend, Nelson Mandela.
Donnie Lonergan.
Donnie Lonergan.
And what was good about this, what was telling, was that clearly Scanlan had been briefed to talk about musical influences with Rod Stewart.
That were beyond her ken.
Absolutely no idea what she was talking about.
She will have looked at Lonnie Donegan and gone, oh, that's wrong. Lonnie is not a first name.
I'll correct this.
Donnie Lonergan.
Donnie Lonergan. Big fan of Donnie Lonergan. And then they had to talk about Long John Baldry.
Yes.
And she, you know, they were going, oh, Long John. And she's like, oh, Long John, yeah. You don't know who that is.
Ah, John Lon.
Getting back to Twickenham Railway Station, I'd just been down to see Long John Baldry, who discovered me. Mm-hmm. And I owe it all to him. I really do.
Gosh.
Long John. Round of applause for Long John.
Long John Baldry.
And you're all your career.
The great thing about that is there's a weird sort of thing about the One Show, and it does have that thing that anything can come up in it. But when they're talking about the 60s British blues explosion at tea time, and with two people who've never heard it before, and Rod Stewart, of course, believes that everyone understands oh, yeah, probably everyone sitting around and you're talking about the Graham Bond organisation or whatever. Just that sort of makes me like the One Show a little bit. Only because it's, where else would you hear that stuff?
That's true.
You know, weirdly, there was, was it Wednesday and they announced the death of Clive James and Gary Rhodes?
Okay, yes.
At the start. Did you see this
one? I didn't
see
Wednesday's, no.
Well, they sort of said, two titans of television have passed away today, we're just hearing. The first is Gary Rhodes, and they said, and the second is Clive James. And they did a, it was Amal Raj and, Angela Scanlon. Yeah. I didn't see Matt Baker or Alex Jones at all on this. It was like proper sort of substitute teacher week for me. And they were saying Clive James, you know, was a wonderful guy and he's full of joie de vivre and known as a poet, a TV critic and this, that, the other. And then they said, so here's a clip of him on his last appearance on The One Show. I think it was in 2006 and it was with Charles and Bleakley.
Yeah.
And they just showed a little clip.
I haven't got a head full of facts. And I think it's very important to keep facts out of your head so there's room for thought. There is a difference, you know.
Yeah.
When you think about it, the most boring people you know are the ones who know all the facts about something.
Yeah.
You spend exactly 5 minutes with them at a party and then you start looking for someone else.
But wild, inconsidered opinions based on no facts at all. Can we just
you can hear a lot of that. It's called the internet.
Yeah.
One, it showed up how much better The One Show was, where there were two adults having a conversation that was sparky, and it wasn't that thing of stop, start, here's a new question, doesn't follow on from what you just said.
Yeah.
It was Charles having a matey chat with Clive James. And it struck me, there's nowhere doing interviews with people like Clive James anymore. You wouldn't get Clive James coming on any other show than The One Show. I was thinking there must be like 20 years of deaths are going to be, here's his last TV appearance, here's her last TV appearance, and it's going to be them sitting on The One Show.
Yeah.
Just a really weird little bit. The Clive James bit was good. They clearly, Gary Rhodes hadn't been on The One Show. So at the end, they played a little clip from local radio where the guy had, you know, someone had asked him a question along the lines of, what would you want your legacy to be after your death? Yeah. And so it was very on the nose, but it was the right clip to use because he's talking about, you know, his legacy after his death, but it said nothing in it.
But hopefully if I'm up there looking down and I'll realise that I did make some form of impression and added something to the catering industry.
And that's what they went out on.
Yeah.
And again, I thought, you know, okay, you didn't have him on The One Show. Don't use that.
No.
It's so flat.
And all we're going to remember, really, is the other guy that died on the day that Clive James and Jonathan Miller did.
Go in threes, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a day, wasn't it?
They did not mention Jonathan Miller. So I think there was a level of where they were going.
Yeah.
We talk about the British blues explosion all you want, but like beyond the fringe and then opera directing.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast app. Apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What was the segue to the Clive James thing? Did they just go like, you remember Margarita Prakatan? Well, the bald guy behind the desk used to sit there with her.
They were straight on there. I mean, what was sort of odd about it is when they talk about like TV titans, you are acutely aware that this is a tribute that is never going to be paid to the people who are doing it today.
Yeah.
You know, God bless. I don't, you know, you want Angela Scanlon to live to be 100, but when she goes, people aren't going to be going, we lost a TV titan, today.
We lost Scandula Anlon. In a tragic rickshaw accident.
good segue just after that where they just went, okay, well, that's it. And as Clive would say, the show must go on.
What now? As Clive would say, the show must go on.
A, don't think I ever heard Clive say that.
Never.
B, he certainly wouldn't have fucking said it about the one show when Amal and Andrea are fucking presenting it.
No. Rod Stewart got a name. He fucked up a name as well. So he was talking about his new album. He's done with an orchestra, London Philharmonic.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, it's all the wonderful arrangements on this album. The strings that Julian... I can't remember his name. If you, it'll be written on your thing, he said, pointing at their card. It wasn't written on their thing.
Of course not. Of course not.
What you've decided to do is record with a Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Yeah. So why that style of music to celebrate this iconic?
Well, it's still all my music. It's just the strings, the wonderful arrangements that Julian, and I can't remember his second name. Can you have a look on the thing? he's made the songs.
He's no one. This guy who's been so influential for this album. Can't remember his name. Julian Strings. That's what I'm calling him. Strulian Jings. I think that's him.
Strulian Jings is actually the Conservative MP for Redruth.
and then we had the weird thing with his shoe.
Again, brilliant.
Right. So,
nice socks.
Well, this was the thing. So what I was.
Do you think I'm soxy?
Get out. So Scanlon talked about, his sartorial elegance, which is mostly just leopard print, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then she talked about shoes, which we'd sort of seen when he walked in, but no one taking any notice. So she drew attention to it, said, your shoes are amazing. Mm. And she said, oh, sorry. She sort of apologised to the director down the barrel of the camera, going, sorry, realising how television works. In other words, there was no camera to do that because no one had set the shot up because she just threw it in there. I like your shoes. No one was pointing at the shoes. So he tried to help, right, by taking a shoe off and holding it up to the camera, just as the cameraman went to the shoe. The director cut to the shoe on camera two or whatever. So now we're looking at his sock, which is being fumbled with while he takes the shoe out of shot to hold up. It was just a fucking mess.
But these shoes, you haven't lost your interest.
Would you like to have a look at
your
the shoes?
Or your flamboyance. Oh, they're going to kill me for going to shoes.
No.
They are
the socks are not bad either.
Pair of brogues.
Pair of brogues, lovely.
Absolutely.
It was worth it, though.
It was worth it.
I mean, I've got an image there of him taking off like an alligator skin shoe, holding it up, and then going down to his bare foot, which just looks like alligator skin. It's a repulsive joke.
There's Penny Lancaster at home going, flicking herself off to Rod's, Rod's alligator
it's like
toes.
It's like a mummy's foot. Rough. Woof, woof.
There's that picture of your dad who's 150.
God.
I'm sure she's lovely. I'm sure she's lovely.
But she was born on the day that Maggie Mae
She came was,
just
yeah.
saying. Just saying that. No. And then they brought on the well, I think it was a surprise. I don't think Rod knew, because his reaction was sort of genuine to this. So they talked about, was it Maggie Mae? Was it Maggie? What song was it? That, anyway, some hit or other that he...
It was Maggie Mae.
Rod said, well, of course, it wasn't me that wrote it. That was written by this guy called Mike Darbo.
Yeah.
Right? And they said, oh, well, funny that, because here he is. And in came Mike Darbo.
Mike Darbo, bless him, wrote a beautiful song.
Yeah. He's a lovely guy,
people still
actually,
love it all around the world.
He's a good lad, is he?
He is a good chap.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because he's actually here.
Nice!
Come
on, Mike! This is your life!
Just a bloke who looks like a retired accountant or whatever, just walked in. And that's fine.
Old man guest number two.
There he was. And then they had a hug, and then they talked about the success of the song, and that was fine. And then they got confused as to who recorded the song first, because he'd made a deal to give it to someone called Chris Farlow, which Rod had already said. But then he came on and said, well, because we did that deal with Chris Farlow, and so you didn't do it first. And Rod said, well, I thought I did it first. And he was like, there's just a mess going on here. John, no one had control of this conversation.
I promised the song to Roy, to Chris Farlow first, hadn't I?
Oh, so he didn't record it. I did it.
No, he recorded it first.
That's what I thought.
And so I said to Rod, you can't record it because I'm about to put out the Rod Stewart, the Chris Farlow version.
Yeah. And then they finished that bit.
Yeah.
Cut back to Angela and Matt trying to get to the next bit. But Rod and Mike just forgot they were on television and just started having a catch-up.
Rod's album, You're In My Heart, is the perfect name for the album, is out now.
Okay, mate, where are you living now?
Well, we've just spoken.
Up in Gloucestershire.
Oh, you're having a good old chin.
That's the whole point.
See you there, Mike.
Crack on. We're going to chat about one of your other loves, Rod. You might want to have a little...
And Rod just went, where are you living now? You're in old Gloucester. And they just had a chat.
It's amazing.
Maybe there's something wrong with you that you're not interested in the minutiae of the 1960s British blues explosion. But when the story of whether Chris Farlow or Rod Stewart first re-recorded Maggie Mae, when did that cease being the most important thing for young men to talk about? Crazy.
Oh, my God. It was such a... And Matt's face, though, when he tried to pull it back...
Mm.
In terms of they were just having a chat, and they tried to make light of the fact that they were just, and Angela said, oh, they're just having a little chat over there, because it was on two shot of them. But you could just hear this stuff about Gloucestershire going on in the background. And then, but Matt, they went into a film about a fucking light railway.
Of course. Rod Stewart, you've got to bring him out. You've got to get him out somewhere.
For God's sake. But Matt's face going into that film, I mean, he was livid. He'd lost control of the whole thing.
Really?
Didn't look happy.
There was one bit during that conversation they had, I wrote down here, just so I made note of it. The 60s sounded great.
Mike, do you not agree with me? You grew up in the 60s. Weren't the 60s breakthrough time? Everything was new, fashion, music.
I loved it.
Everything.
Why has no one mentioned that before?
If only there was some way that they could have preserved the music of the 60s for a bit.
Isn't it? Yeah.
What a damn shame. There is a thing with Rod Stewart where they always bring him on, and every television show that has him on thinks that they are the first to break the news that he's into model railways massively. And it's a thing that happens, I would say, every time Rod Stewart is on TV, where they'll sort of go, now, you've got a rather interesting hobby. And they expect him to go, oh no, please. This year he was on the front of Model Railway, collecting magazine. He talks about his autobiography.
He was on Jeremy Vine a few weeks ago talking about Model Railway.
Yeah. There's always that slight thing where they're going, you're not going to believe this. Whenever they're like, we've got an interesting fact about Rod Stewart, I'm like, well, it's going to be his Model Railway. There it is.
Or the wardrobe with the sugar puffs. When he was on last time, do you remember we talked about it, there was a Model Railway society that got vandalised overnight, and Rod Stewart gave £10,000 to help them.
That's right.
Rebuild their shitty fucking train set.
It was self-sabotaged, I believe.
But then they got, because now we're 6 months down the line or whatever it is,
That's good.
So they got the guy, the president of this society, on the show to come and say thank you to Rod.
To account for the missing funds.
And so they had a bit of film of that and stuff, but they then presented him with a plaque saying that he was an honorary member of the North Yorkshire Pickering Model Railway Society.
Yeah. Got you.
And then Rod sort of had to feign interest in that.
We want to make you an honorary member of the club.
Oh, bless you.
Is that right?
Look at that. So, it's gorgeous. Have a look, guys.
There you are. Look at that.
To be fair to me, pulled it off pretty well, I thought.
Yeah. Mm. I got to say this, though. I mean, I'm not by any means a fan of model railways, but Rod Stewart's railway does look bloody impressive.
It does, actually. Yeah, it does,
doesn't
it? Pictures, didn't they? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it
and
does.
The fact that he said he takes it on bits of it on tour.
I know,
it,
that was weird.
And they hire out an entire hotel room wherever he goes so he can build some railway in it and paint some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, do I believe that? I don't know. I mean, isn't that just a thing you say to people and then they go, oh, how sweet, and they don't, you know, if I was on tour, I'd be off my box on, like, massive amounts of drugs.
Oh, I mean, the buildings you made don't make any sense at all. They've got, like, three walls that go in one line. And
this is the Columbia Express train. What does it deliver? It delivers a huge amount of powder to my nose every 30 seconds.
Time flies by when you're the driver of a train.
What do you mean?
Speeding along with your cargo of cocaine.
What do you mean it's delayed?
I think Half Man, Half Biscuit wrote. So then there was a film, speaking of railways, then we went to a film with Scarlett Douglas was presenting it.
And who is Scarlett Douglas?
Scarlett is one of their presenters. I asked the same question of myself, and the answer I just go, well, it's one of their presenters.
Yeah.
But she jumped out of the screen because she was wearing a bright, it wasn't really a colour. I'm going to say the word aquafresh.
Right.
Right. It was a sort of minty coloured fur coat that was sort of eye shatteringly green.
With Fuck the Pope painted on the back of it. Bold choice.
You could taste the coat.
You could. It was a minty coat. Yeah. But she was wearing bright orange gloves with it.
Ooh.
And she just looked stupid.
Is she like 14? Is she really sort of young and...
No, I don't know what was going on.
So she's either like a kid making her own choices or she's an older lady who has lost the fucking plot.
Yeah.
Right.
That's basically it. Okay. And they'd sent her to North Yorkshire to do a film for the One Show on what she said was a design concept that was unique and hadn't been done before.
Mm.
And what this design concept was, which we learned they employed a conceptual designer to put this together. And what it was some blokes had put some Christmas fairy lights on the outside of a steam train.
The winter nights are drawing in, but here in Pickering, the Northern Lights Express will soon be rocketing down the tracks.
It's being decorated with over 30,000 lights.
This is the idea of concept designer Andrew Pooley.
And they're off through the countryside as a Christmas Santa Express.
Yeah. Was it loaded with cocaine?
No. I mean, that could be the only reason it was dreamt up. But it didn't... It's like all you've done is tie some Christmas lights.
I know.
To the outside of a steam train.
Yeah.
My notes here, I got, wrapping a load of Christmas lights around a train does not a festive treat make.
No, but it's also not a concept design. It's like,
no.
We'll just put some lights on that train.
Yeah.
To be fair, in the mist and in the snow and stuff, looked quite magical.
Yeah. You know,
I was quite won over by it in the end.
No, nah, not really. It looked like a house that was at Christmas time.
It looked like a chaff's house. Yes, it looked like a chaff's house.
But it was like the really thick Christmas, like, tubing type lights that just stretched all around it. And there was no sort, I mean, there was like, diamond shape that they had, but they could have put something in the middle of that. There was nothing. It was literally just Christmas lights.
So is this for orphans or something?
No, it's for train idiots.
Yeah, it's for train people. Train people don't deserve anything.
Train people.
And they'll just be going, oh, it's scratching the enamel.
One of the cars.
don't mess with their trains.
Rod looked really horrified by it.
One of the questions within the film was, how did you come up with the idea?
All you've done
is put some lights on a train.
It's not an idea. It's like a thing people would do. If you've done it on houses, that seems like a step beyond the fact you do it on a vehicle.
Yeah.
I think the vehicle is a step down. I think this is going backwards.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a chav's day out. And then what were we on to next? We were on to, Sports Personality of the Year, of course, which got a couple of minutes at the end, didn't it?
That was about Katarina Johnson-Thompson.
Well done for saying it. Yeah. So I'm not interested in that whatsoever. And it didn't fail. It didn't win me over.
It was just the name that got me. It really was.
Katarina Johnson-Thompson.
Yeah, Katarina.
Yeah, and then two people, Kaz and Steve. Two people, Kaz and Steve, rocked up at the end because he proposed to her at a Rod Stewart concert by being on the opposite side of the arena and holding up a sheet.
A sheet?
Will you marry me?
With this, I reckon he just took a punt.
There's a lot of love out there, not just for you, but also between your fans, because we're joined by a couple here. This is Kez and Stephen. And I don't know who wants... Do you want to tell the story, Stephen? Yeah. What happened? Go on.
It was the Rod Stewart concert in, Sir Rod Stewart concert in June. And I proposed to my fiancée.
He didn't actually know her.
No.
He just bought that sign, took her to the concert, will you marry me? And someone had a yes and a no and went, yeah.
And then Penny Lancaster came in from the film to, you know, snort the dust of Rod. off the sofa.
Like, off the train set of love.
Yeah, well, listen, we, your wife is here, actually. Penny, are you there? Yes, let's hear it for Penny Lancaster.
And sorry about the Teenage Cancer Trust, and then we're over.
I mean, with Penny Lancaster, it was almost like, Penny Lancaster, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Mm. Show me your alligator foot again.
Oh, can I only do it once every 6 weeks, otherwise the osteoarthritis is crippling.
Come on, Rod, make it go in and out of me like a train in a tunnel. Penny, go see my dad's. Take my dad up.
I'm going to wrap him in fairy lights for some fucking reason. Yeah.
Horrific. And we wonder why this podcast isn't mainstream. I don't know. Anyway, you watched Wednesday. What else happened?
Yeah, well, Wednesday was like a surgery special, which was as boring as you can imagine.
Oh, I wish I watched it.
I tell you what, I mean, you think it gets boring because it's surgery, but also one of the key surgeries was about Andy Murray, the tennis player.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
From the Lockerbie disaster.
from the Lockerbie disaster where the man shot everyone. Yeah. with the dangerous dog
in a Hungerford.
isn't that one where the plane crashed and had to eat each other?
Exactly that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good. I got it. Yeah.
Andy Murray, when they announced him, I go, oh Christ, here we go. Andy Murray's on TV. This is not his natural home.
Yeah.
And over the years, I've had a grudging respect for him for his lack of interest in being good on telly. But I sort of find that quite admirable. But he came in and they had the audience holding tennis rackets aloft. Like, a sort of, like if you were a tennis nut and you were getting married in a stupid tennis themed ceremony, you'd go through the guard of honor underneath it. Yeah. And he looked genuinely like, oh Christ, about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sir Andy Murray!
Thank you.
Yeah, in a bit, right?
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. You're a busy man.
Yeah.
And he sat down.
He looks like that about everything.
He does, and he sat down. He looked like he was about to be told, unfortunately, due to the changes in the global economy, we're going to have to let you go from this, you know, HR job. He just sat there with just this look of, oh God, I hope this is over soon, you know. And they said to him, sort of, Andrew would go, thanks for joining us. I mean, you're such a busy man. And he said, yeah. Been a busy few days, busy few weeks, actually. Like that. And just killing the mood immediately. She said, she talked about he's got a new child.
Right.
He's the first person I've ever seen on television, especially as a celebrity. When they say you've got a new baby, how is it? That he went, well, you know, it's a big change. We just got sorted on the last lot and, you know, this has come along.
You managing to enjoy it?
It's just different. It's different. Having two, second daughter is 2 years old, first one is four, and then sort of we're sort of getting settled into a bit of routine, and so
as I said, so you've got a documentary, a new baby, this, that, the other, have you been doing the night feeds? And he started rubbing his eye. He went,
no, I haven't been the last few weeks, but it's been, you know, like I said, really busy.
Still doing the night feeds?
I haven't the last few weeks, but yeah, it's been, like I said, yeah, really, really busy.
By that point, I'm going, is he like sort of like Andy Kaufman, where he's sort of going, I'm going to have the persona of the world's most boring man, knowing that I'm continually going to be on television. It was hard to watch.
Wow.
But once you sort of click into, there was this funny video where the survivors of the school shootings in America, who are now at Dunblane Primary School, they were, which they never mentioned in the thing. They didn't mention that. That was the point I was trying to get across before it all went fucking terrible.
They didn't mention
that. You know, he's Andy Murray's old school, Dunblane Primary School. Here are the children at Dunblane Primary School. They showed the thing and the kids were going, well, he really inspires us. You know, he tells us we can do the tennis. And there was a bit weird bit where it's almost like he's on the curriculum. One of the children was going, when he was younger, he had problems with his bones. And there was a drawing one of them had done of a tennis player. player that was just made up of like a skeleton.
He had quite a lot of growing pains when he started playing, but he obviously was good, but he had to fight quite hard.
It was weird. And I really thought they were going to go, as you can see from this picture, the scars of the Dunblane tragedy are still strong. I could not work it. They didn't mention it. Oh. And maybe that's fair enough. Maybe it does seem like an old thing. But to people like of my generation, who I don't know really what it is, when questioned.
It's a different disaster altogether.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was actually a real shame.
Yeah.
They did say, you know, are you enjoying fatherhood? And he went, yeah. It was sort of amazing.
And right here is where we'll hard exit part one of this week's The One Show without a deal. No, wait, there is a deal. And the deal is that we'll be back tomorrow with part two. You, my friend, are a kindly soul. We know that, and we love you. And we thank you for listening to this. I mean, since we were last in your ears, there have been, and I have checked, 3 million new podcasts added per day. In fact, the Labour Party in their manifesto have said that if they get in, they're going to plant another 2 billion podcasts in the next year. And it's good, isn't it? Because there simply aren't enough podcasts. And if just some of them could be by middle-aged white men, that would be the cherry on the pod cake, wouldn't it? But please rate and review us on iTunes, and we only accept 5 stars. See you tomorrow for part two.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before.
These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Boys mustn't hesitate bashing their head like this.
You can't tell me what to do, you ain't my mother!
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up. With a novel on the top.
I think I like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.